Hello and welcome to episode 67 of the Summoning Hour podcast. This week's guest is James Hops Hoplin, the esports coordinator for Washington State University. But before we go into that, there's two announcements. First, I messed up. My mixer settings got screwed up while I was trying to mess with one setting or another, and I thought I reverted everything, but unfortunately, it seems to have had an effect on Ops's audio, so that's just the quality that we have to move forward with this episode. It's listenable, but it is not what you would expect, and especially with the dissonance between how my voice sounds to his, it kind of complicates things a little bit. But we keep moving forward. Apologize. Hopefully you can still get something from the podcast. Second announcement is that the Esports Egg Bowl 2nd edition is coming out on October 5th at 10 a.m. Central Time between Ole Miss and MSU. You can watch the competition on twitch.tv/esports_MSU. This week's musical guest is once again Delta 4. I'm bringing them back with their track, Stalker. This is Hops, and actually, I don't even know your real name. I just know you as Hops because I've been following you since you joined Wazoo. And so, why don't you give us a little bit of an introduction from you?
Hello, everybody. My name is James Hops Hoplin. I work for Washington State University up in the beautiful city of Pullman, Washington. I've actually been working there for a number of years, and I've just kind of slid into the esports coordinator role, and I've been having an absolute blast.
Awesome. So last time I talked to Wazoo, we had established that there was a great fighting game community there. There is a great esports interest there, and that you had several competitive teams. But since then, and there was talks about getting the administration really behind it, and I imagine that since they brought you on as a full-time faculty member, that things have changed, or you've seen a lot of that momentum really build up into action from the administrator or the administration. And so that's really exciting for me to hear, because this is like part of that explosive growth that's happened to collegiate esports over the last year, is that more and more administrations are buying in, not only because it makes business sense from a recruiting effort, but because they see what it's doing for the students. And the more clubs that I see and then talk to, it's just crazy the amount of quality and production and effort that they're all putting in behind it on top of their own studies. So can you walk us through a little bit, maybe some of the developments since you joined the team, about what's really happening with Wazoo Esports?
Yeah, absolutely. So the varsity program officially is still at the infancy stage compared to other programs. Kind of want to model after a little bit of what Boise State does, where they have a full curriculum included in there with streaming and producing and casting, as well as the actual games. But realistically, we're still a little ways away. We need to secure funding, but we are in talks with a couple conferences to actually join in with other Power 5 schools, which I think is very exciting to have actual leagues. And up to, I think we're toying with maybe three games right now and work towards being able to offer full scholarships, which would be very, very cool. Like I said, we're still kind of in the infancy, but It has a lot of moving pieces, but it's very, very fun.
And I mean, part of that is just making that decision to have a full-time faculty member be in charge of that, and that's got to be huge for you to be like, I'm going to help build this program. What's that like for you to be able to join into collegiate esports like that?
So the cool thing about me working for WSU is that I was pretty much born and raised in Poland. I have been a Coug since I was a little tyke. So it's always been my dream to work in the athletic department, something with a football program. And so being able to actually start developing a Cougar athletic, like esports athletic program, is just unbelievable. I can't even really describe it, how much that means to me. And actually, how it all happened was kind of interesting, because I've been working at the university for 8 or 9 years throughout just different jobs. And in my part-time, I have been working for professional organizations like Team Envy and then Dallas Fuel in the Overwatch League. And then Overwatch coach Jane, I was his community manager, helped build him all the way up. And I forget how it was brought up to me, but all of a sudden I found out that the vice president of the department I'm in has a strong interest in getting the program rolling. So I just kind of sent an email, said, hey, here I am. Here's what I do. Let's work to try to make my side hustle into my main hustle, and let's get this ball rolling. And thankfully, he liked the vision, and he liked what I had to offer, and here we are.
That's incredible. And that the first thing that comes to mind is, like, you see all the numbers of money and the amount of businesses and sponsors that are going into the professional scene, and here you are taking a step back from that to go back to collegiate. And now I know, one, that's partly Wazoo pride, Coug, born and bred kind of thing, so that's easy for some people to get back into. But then also, I think that also speaks to where you see the future of collegiate esports going, and where the amount of growth that can happen or is happening already. What was that thing that tipped you over wanting to go back to college and try and build it out there?
You know, one of the things I've always loved about working at the university is working directly with the students. In every position I've held on campus, that has been my pride and joy. That's been the reason I go to work every day. And so being able to work with young adults, young people, to try to help them achieve what they're striving for is motivation for me every day. I love that part. I'm 36 years old, which in esports, I might as well be 86, but their excitement and their enthusiasm keeps me young and keeps me wanting to keep moving forward. The other thing that I think is as professional esports grows, it's very, very top heavy. Like, you have a whole bunch of fleshed out leagues, like with the upcoming Call of Duty League, Overwatch League, LCS, all this other stuff. But the infrastructure is very fragmented and not equally supported. And so if everything's super top heavy, eventually that could lead to a wobble and a collapse. So I like the idea of working on getting a structure set up, not just WSU, but esports as an industry. Have a little bit of a pipeline there to feed pros, both behind, in front of the camera and behind the camera. And then also just help people with a little bit of a fallback, because, you know, professional esports is a really tough business. And so trying to get everybody in a position so this way they're successful in and outside of esports is something that's very intriguing to me.
I imagine that as we start seeing collegiate really start feeding into the professional scene, there was the idea that even last year and the year before that college wasn't the path to pro, and it's still kind of the case. People are being groomed early on and everything, but what collegiate esports gives you is it gives the students a backup if they focus on the esports side, or they can use esports as like that springboard to get somewhere else and leverage their own degree and their education. But at the same time, as we're starting to develop people in these programs with essentially professional experience between streaming, analyzing, and creating actual analytics to create game plans, coaching, actual playing, any journalism, all of that kind of stuff, all of that feeds into professional. When we start having that person who graduates from a college and goes into professional casting, or someone who really makes that public splash when they've leveraged their college's brand of what they've created from Wazoo, and then they bring it to their new organization, I think that's going to be a wake-up call for a lot of people. I mean, I imagine someone like Dreadnought, who hosted a lot of Heroes of the Storm content, played in it, and then he realized he needed to have a backup plan because he was done playing, and he went straight into casting, and he just nailed it, and now he's like all over the place. Mm-hmm. He's all over, and now I'm waiting for someone like him who's got the collegiate background and leveraging that Wazoo brand or whatever college that they came from. I can see that being like a huge powder keg to be like, other people need to start investing. You've seen it a little bit with Overwatch League, where they're starting like the NYXL Spring Rally, where they're like, let's bring all the local colleges together and show off what's there. Soon enough, that's going to be the combine. Soon enough, that's going to be like regional recruiting efforts. And we'll see where it goes between TESPA and NACE and Collegiate Star League and how they want to organize drafts and everything through collegiate. But we're not there yet. But I mean, sorry to go on, but this is like super exciting stuff where we can start talking about the brand of collegiate esports. Where do you think Wazoo's brand is going to go? I mean, you talked about modeling a little bit off of Boise State. What do you think that identity for Wazoo is?
That is a very good question. I mean, ideally, I would like passion to be our brand. Because if you even look at, like, for example, our football team, yes, it has ups and downs. We're on an upswing right now, but we had a really bad couple years. But the Cougar flag is still at game day for well over 100 weeks in a row now. There is... You go anywhere in the nation, and if you see a Cougar logo, you're going to see Goku's. Or you're going to hear that back to you. I think that being able to leverage our community spirit is going to be something that is going to help us in the long run. Because, you know, a lot of students say, or a lot of schools will say, oh, you know what, when you're here, you're family. WSU takes that to a whole nother level. I mean, once a Coug, always a Coug. The other thing that I'd really like is for the brand to be that we produce well-rounded individuals. Well-rounded, so this way, if the playing career is done, they can go behind the scenes and work with social media. They can go behind the scenes and work with advertising and marketing or production or being on screen. I don't want us to be known as one-trick ponies. I want us to be able to, be very well-rounded.
And thinking of, on that passion point, I think it was Bobby Belter.
Mm-hmm.
That may not be right, but it was one of the guys from the fighting game community. They went to Evo again this year, and they did it last year, and they brought the Cougar flag with them. And they got a whole bunch of signatures on it. I think that was last year, but they still brought the Cougar flag with them this year. And fighting games being very different than some of the organized team competitive games, being that every fighting game player is looking towards those major events like Evo, and then you have that Go Cougs flag going there, like that is a statement, to say the least, of like, and seeing that history that's going to be there. Because there's only going to be more Cougs going to Evo as the fighting game community flourishes there. So it's just going to be exciting to see Cougs at those major events.
Yeah, and actually, while we're at it, Bobby Belzer is the president of the WSU Esports Club, but I believe you're referring to Tim, also known as Snake Eater. He is the president of the fighting game club at Washington State University. And that kid oozes charisma, oozes passion. He is a prototype of what I would like this program to eventually produce. I've seen that flag in person. I'm still waiting for my chance to sign it. but it is very cool. It's a very cool tradition, and I'm hoping we can keep that up.
That's going to be one of those things that just he's going to pass that flag on to the next president of the fighting game community, and that's just going to be a legacy flag, and that's just going to be super cool to see where all of those presidents and all of those fighting game community members end up going to as Wazoo builds up. Now, we're talking about building Wazoo up and like going even farther than before. And I keep referring to Boise State just because they're the ones who seem to have their identity nailed. They know where they're going. Chris Haskell is just all about the students, and he knows what his vision is. And I forget what school that he's modeling it off of in terms of, I think it was Alabama. He's like, everyone knows who Alabama is, and like they aspire to be that program in terms of their football club or football team. So if you had to compare yourself to like that prestige level notoriety, knowing that no one's really defined that yet, like Boise State's up there, UC Irvine, and Ohio State, they're all building big programs, and they have some of that identity there, but I don't know about the chutzpah to say like we're aiming up here. Where do you want to be?
I mean, obviously, I think that focusing in, going back to the passion aspect, I am very, very proud to say that it's not just my vice president of my department, Dave Slay for Global Campus, that is wanting to invest a lot of this. This goes all the way up to President Schultz at the highest level of Washington State. So there is a profound commitment in making this work. And I think that eventually, you know, if crossing my fingers that everything goes right, we can be in that spot that other schools aspire to. I mentioned I have so much respect for what Doc has done at Boise State, and I'm going to take a lot of inspiration from him, but I'm hoping that one of these days he'll be able to look at us and say, dang, I need to go up and visit the facilities in Pullman. And so that's kind of my goal for the long-term vision. One of the really cool things is that my vice president, David, that I mentioned, his goal is he wants to be able to put a LAN event in our Beasley basketball, a Beasley Coliseum, which is our basketball arena, and try to sell the thing out. Like that is our brass ring. That is what we are shooting for. Whether it happens in 2 years, 10 years, so have you, that's one of our goals.
Doing the right thing takes time.
Absolutely.
And I mean, like being able to fill a Coliseum, you're going to have to find the right game or series of games. Have you watched any of MSU and Ole Miss's esports Egg Bowl that they did last year and they're doing again this year?
Yes, actually, I've watched highlights, and going back to the support from the highest level, we're actually working on setting up a WSU versus UW Apple Cup event this fall. I actually have a meeting with the folks over at UW on Friday, and I'm going to try to put that all together. And so that would be very cool. I'd like to start that as a yearly tradition, eventually with the goal of actually being able to send our teams to Seattle and bring their teams to us, you know, depending on where the Apple Cup is. I think that that is very important. I think the fact that there's already built-in rivalries between schools, I think if you can key in on that and you can play into that, it's just – It's a marketing tool that's priceless. You already have the storylines built in. I think it'd be great for both schools.
Yeah, I mean, thinking about the storyline, Ole Miss and MSU, the Egg Bowl is like over a 100-year tradition between their football teams. And now we're in year two of the esports Egg Bowl. Like the new time, new era, new competition, same just gridiron. Like, we are going to win. The trash talk between those two schools is phenomenal, and I love it. I hope Rutgers can get in there with another school in their area, just because their meme game is, like, second to none. And absolutely. I mean, the Apple Cup, I mean, you don't get any more traditional than that between East and West Washington. Like, anyone who's been in the area, they know what the Apple Cup is. They know what to expect. They know that it's a big deal, whether they choose one of the schools or not, or they're just visiting, or they're a transplant from somewhere else. They know what the Apple Cup is, and it's easy for them to get into. And between the flurry of games that you could host at the same time, or one right after another, it could be an entire day activity. It could be something even longer than that. Like, as you start incorporating some of the other schools as well, just to be like the Apple Cup of the ages kind of thing, you could easily include Central and Western, Western and just all of them. Like, it can be a big thing, and it becomes even more powerful than just one school versus another. But you have to respect the rivalry at the same time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And they already did an offshoot of this at the Husky Gaming Expo. I believe it was in May, where they did have Western Washington there. And Western Washington represented very, very well from what I remember. The high school and collegiate scene in Washington State is actually like low-key one of the best scenes in the country. I have been in communication with quite a few of the high schools. There are high schools that are setting up esports programs, and the passion there is incredible. I have been blown away by what they want to provide to their students. So I think that, you know, as everything develops in 5-6 years, Washington State is going to be a hotbed for, or a pipeline for esports talent across all ranges and all skills. It's going to be really fun to see how it develops.
Can you tell me more about the high school scene? I'm not familiar with a whole lot of that going on. I know I've poked my local high school or I graduated from, and it's like, hey, what's going on? And they're just like, I don't know. So I'm curious to learn more what you know, and maybe I can poke some other people to find out some more.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a couple schools like Cedar Woody. I'm probably going to get yelled at for getting that one messed up. But I've been talking to the head of their program, and I've gotten some great insights from him. They're pairing a lot of the esports content with STEM fields and computer science. So this way, in addition to the games aspect, they are working on building computers. They are working on coding, and that is how they're introducing it into the schools. And as kind of a, hey, yeah, come for the coding, stay for the games type of thing. And, you know, on a side note, like I officiate high school football. I'm a varsity official for football. And if you look at, you know, traditional sports and how their numbers are drying up, there's a lot of sports, especially football and baseball are down. You're going to see, like esports kind of fill that void, as parents do not want their kids taking potential shots to the head or anything like that. That void is going to be filled by esports, and the smart schools are going to start catering to that now, rather than when they're so far behind the curve, it's not even funny.
I can't agree more, and I'm excited to hear that the high school aspect seems to be picking up pretty quickly. I know of a school district down in Oklahoma where they have, I think it was 6 different high schools, and they've already got a league put together for those 6 high schools, and they're not necessarily like right next to each other, but like they're in traveling distance, so they can have home and away games. And so it would be great to see that kind of thing happening in Washington State as well. That's super exciting to hear that that's already starting. I can't wait to hear more of the noise. And that actually brings me to a point. It's like, how much content creation needs to be coming out of these schools to kind of prove that they're here, that there is a program? Like, there's so much more opportunity to be outward facing than like traditional football programs or baseball programs, because those teams, in comparison to a production house of what people can do with esports, it's so much smaller than what you can externally project from a club. So I'm curious, how much does college need to be broadcasting out, this is our club, this is what we do, broadcasting all of their games, their practices, having content creators who aren't necessarily competitive but still represent the club and the program at the college? But then what does that high school level get to do? Because they're going to have different restrictions, they're going to have different sizes and abilities and facilities, because they're even still a year or two even farther behind collegiate esports.
Yeah, like the one thing in particular that we've been seeing, like if you look at the Overwatch League social media feed, the content creation and graphic arts especially has really stepped up their game. I think that building in a graphic design element or a media element of any esports program is going to be essential to the success. You could turn a successful esports program into a heck of a marketing machine for your university. Being able to, you know, the fact that we aren't limited to one game a week or two games a week. We can go as many as the students' schedule will allow. So it would be a constant pipeline of content out there. But the key is quality over quantity, right? It has to be curated with a little bit of a vision. And so it's hard to make broad generalizations about that, because it all depends on what the school wants. For example, there's a couple schools in the Pac-12 right now that they're, despite what their esports clubs are doing, they're not going to receive the same level of attention as Wazoo's getting from my administration. So I think the biggest thing is there is, and I'm sure you've heard this on some of your other shows, there is a huge cultural shift that needs to take place for this to be accepted. And so, especially in the high school realm, being able to market and key on the benefits of the program, of what you can learn and what you can do, versus just being inside staring at a screen, I think that that's probably going to be the best strategy for them.
Yeah.
I don't think I answered that very well.
I think you answered it just fine. Like, it's not defined. Like, if professional esports is the Wild West, collegiate is, like, I don't even know how much wild, it's like Will Smith's Wild Wild West. Like, and then high school might as well be deep sea exploration, because there's no way we know what that is yet. The infrastructure of, like, a school district, and then a state school district, and then a national school district, and you start talking, like, a structure almost like the Little League World Series kind of thing, and it's like that could blow up and no one is facilitating that kind of deal. We're having trouble just getting a single organizer for collegiate esports and having that vision and that direction for what each group wants, and the number of games that they each cater to is different and ran separately, and like it's not quite chaos, but it might as well be there. So it's completely understandable to figure that everyone's going to have to figure it out for themselves.
Yeah, and like you do have the different professional leagues. I actually think high school is in a slightly more advanced situation than the overall globe of college. Because right now the high school has the National Federation of State High School Associations, which is the overall governing body for a lot of the traditional physical sports, that is dipping their toes in and actually starting to get in and regulate esports. So they're having this NCAA-like organization move slowly into the sphere, so this way there can be a unified set of qualifications and rules and everything. That said, I think the NCAA would not be appropriate for collegiate esports, just for many reasons that could be a whole other show. I think the biggest thing that's going to hurt collegiate esports is the fact that there is not one specific league. Whether you're looking at EGFC, which is Electronic Gaming Federation Conference, or NACE, or whatever, there's always going to be that. Who's really the best? Is that Marysville and Harrisburg's over here, and we're over here in a different conference. We're not really going to see each other other than maybe show matches. I think that's going to kind of stunt the growth a little bit. So I'm just curious to see which organization is going to end up being able to withstand the test and kind of be left standing after all the shuffling and everything is going around.
Yeah, and I mean, on top of that, you have all of the community-driven leagues. So, like, I follow the Rainbow Six scene quite a bit more than other games. So Collegiate R6, Surge Esports, they have their own esports, or Rainbow Six League. Collegiate Star League is dipping their toe in there, and then there's another College R6 starting up too. So how are these schools supposed to pick one and be like, we're going to be the best at this? Like, there was the Hearthstone player who got in trouble for playing Teamfight Tactics at the same time. Are we going to start seeing college programs getting in trouble for being in this league and this league and this league, or like showing a better performance here but then sending their B team in for this other one? Because the other advantage of collegiate esports is the sheer volume of resources and players that you have over traditional sports. And we're not regulating club size or anything like that, because again, there's no regulation for all of this. So it's figuring out how it all fits together and which leagues are going to best serve the growth and the students.
And I think that is the key right there. Is that there's a couple organizations that are out and about that are focusing 98% of the time and effort and structure on the actual competition. I think that the one organization that's going to end up standing tall at the end of the day is going to be the ones who look at a more holistic approach on academic standards, as well as competition standards. I think that if you can't cater to your student athletes, it's not going to serve the school well, because at the end of the day, we are a school. We need to take care of that first. And then the rest of the fun stuff come after that. There's a couple organizations that I'm not going to mention that I'm a little concerned with their long-term vision or lack thereof when it comes to academics.
I think you and I are on the same wavelength. I've had a number of conversations about who's leading the way and who's taking charge and who's got the best foot forward and who's got the plan to kind of represent that in the long term. So I'm glad that we're synced up. We're good. Let's bring it back to Wazoo. Let's go back. Like, what are your plans for this year? This is a huge year. Like, you have more administrative support. You're there. Your presidents are more weathered and tenured, and they know what they're doing. They know what they want. But what's the plan for the year? What are the goals that you guys have set forward already?
A lot of it is education. I feel like we are probably 6 years behind the curve. And so a lot of it's catch-ups, a lot of it is trying to figure out what we don't know, honestly. So like I said, I was coming from more of a professional scene experience, so I'm having to even learn how... Just even the rules of regulations of getting the sponsorship, and how that actually ties into what is acceptable with Washington state law. We've also got to work with our foundation, the WSU Foundation, to work on fundraising so this way we can actually start building out our arena. A lot of it is just penciling in the business plan to really start getting traction. We haven't signed a contract, but we are working with a potential conference that is mainly focused on the Power Five schools, so the Pac-12, Big Ten, SEC, ACC, Big East, maybe. That's focusing on basically the Power Five collegiate schools. They want to run through them, which is something that's interesting to us. We might even be able to start as early as January, but we're still waiting on that. I would like to get something actually in place by January. So this way we can actually have sanctioned varsity teams by then. But it is a lot because the infrastructure was basically nothing when walking into this. So it's just literally laying the foundation brick by brick, pretty much.
I mean, when you have to say that you're putting together the business plan, that starts at square one of just what do I need to know so I can start putting things in paper, and everything being tied up in the education system, and there's a long-standing history of the rules and regulations that go with that. That's enough for an entire school year to ramp up on by itself, but then trying to put together a business proposal with a money amount to it, it's like... good luck, have fun. And January is definitely a short timeline for sure.
Yeah. The one thing that I've been incredibly lucky with is that we're working very closely with our university recreation program, and they have a lot of infrastructure already in place for the sports club. So anything that I have an idea of want to do, I could bounce off their director. They're like, well, we know how to do this, this, and this, but I basically know how to turn on a computer, and that's as far as I know with esports. So I've been able to fill in a lot of that, of like the actual practical and logistics. Whereas they've been able to, you know, help me out with the bones there. And then, like, the WSU Esports clubs themselves, I have never been more impressed with a group of college students in my life. Like, for this whole thing started with Bobby and the rest of the Esports team getting registered as an official sports club at the university. And then also submitting a proposal for school fees in order to build out our first bank of actual sanctioned computers. And that was a giant wake-up call for them, for the administration, by saying, wow, okay, these kids are serious. Maybe we should take a look. So, I just need to say this publicly, like, without Bobby and Tim and Dylan and the other kids from the WSU sports club, I would not be in this position. They really were the ones to take the first step. And I feel an immense amount of pressure to live up to the standard that they've already set.
I hope anyone listening gets to understand the context of saying that three or four college students and the efforts that they put through to understand the bureaucracy, the paperwork, the effort to do their schoolwork to cater to what the school needed to hear, so that they could move forward even within the establishment and the established rules and behavior, to then get the campus and the school to say, we need to invest money in bringing someone in full time. I mean, that's salary, and then that's all the other benefits that go with it. That's signing them up for all of the plans for the rest of this year. That's signing the school up for any events, the plans of wanting to get the Apple Cup, the plans of wanting to have UW students come out for the event and stay on campus and just be a destination for esports. Like, that's what they signed up for. They signed up for at least a 3, 5, 7, 10 year plan because of three, four, five students' efforts. And that's not to say anything about the support staff behind those, but those are the key members who went in and did a lot of the presentations, the due diligence, and the tiny details that made the most effort. And so this is the power that every esports club has. Now, there's administrations that aren't ready to listen. They don't want to listen. I'm looking at you, Arizona State. I'm calling you out again and again until you change your tune. And I know there's been some efforts, but I'm not tied to a school. I get to call you out. That's how that goes. But this is the effort, and this is the value of student effort. Mm-hmm. If you put in the time, the details, the effort to accomplish something, even though you're just a college student, even though you're earning your degree, you can change a lot in those two, three, four years that you're at the college.
Yep, absolutely. And I have to stay above certain things, but I really respect the hell out of the ASU sports club and Danny, their vice president, and the efforts they're putting on. I wish for them the best. I would love to see all 12 Pac-12 schools be involved and us being able to actually have a Pac-12 tournament every year. That is my personal, like, 15-year dream. Whether it happens with me or without me, if that happens, I'll be a happy person.
And, yeah, and I mean, when I think about a big event or a big season like that, where it's almost like the Overwatch League or League of Legends, where they swap casters and analysts, and they get very different vibes depending on who's casting and what pairs are casting. And when I think about Wazoo bringing out their premier caster for one of their games, being matched up with a UW caster, and like, you start learning a lot more about the personalities and a lot more about what each school can offer and the flavor that that could give, like a Big Ten or a Pac-12, like all of that, you could define so much by students, entirely by students. You don't even have to have professional crews come in and be anywhere in the limelight. This could be entirely a student-driven production. Mm-hmm. And being able to put your school's stamp on that and say, students did this.
Absolutely. I would like everything that we do. I don't want a professional member of Washington State involved more than we have to. I want, whether it's the graphics, running OBS, running the stream, producing, casting, in-game observing, playing, if we could get that entirely onto the students, I will feel successful at that point. Because I want them to be able to be basically full service. And that's something we're going to strive for. The other thing that is kind of unique with Washington State program that I just remembered, I probably should have brought this up earlier, is that unlike a lot of other schools, esports is not being housed in the athletic department. Generally speaking, esports, athletics, dump it there. A lot of athletic departments either don't have the knowledge or don't have the desire to take on esports. Whereas where it's sitting with us in our global campus and academic outreach and innovation department, innovation and technology is what we do. We also want to bring in a unique aspect of being able to service our global campus students. Washington State has between 4,000 and 6,000 online students who are full-time students who are fully enrolled in Washington State University. We also have several satellite campuses in Vancouver, Washington, Tri-Cities, a couple in Seattle, and up in Spokane. We want to be able to recruit out of there. We want to be able to pull in students from Spokane and Tri-Cities and Vancouver and bring them together. And not just, you're an online student. No, you're a Cougar. You're the same as us here in Pullman. We want you to be a part of the family. We want you to be a part of the team. And I think that's going to be something that we're going to be able to offer versus other schools. Well, we're going to be able to cater your experience to what you need. And I think that's very exciting to me as someone who I got my degree online. And I felt very, very disconnected from the entire thing. So if I could bring more people into the Cougar family, I'll be happy.
I mean, that actually raises an interesting scenario where you have colleges with satellite campuses. All of our, I mean, you said Vancouver or Vancouver, Washington, mm-hmm. not Vancouver, Canada or BC. But because all of your satellites are still within Washington State, do you see almost a possibility of a state by state esports competition? So gather up all of the best Washington players and then you start putting something together that way? Because that would be something dramatically more different than what a professional esports would be mm-hmm. able to put together. And not saying one way or another about where organizations lie, like NACE and TESPA and all of them, but how interesting would that be to compare state by state?
It would be very interesting. I don't know how, taking logistics and organization out of it, I think it'd be very, very interesting to see how we could rack up. I mean, generally, when you think of esports, you don't think of the state of Washington as a hotbed. But I think we'd stack up very well against other states. And one thing that I'm personally championing for is that as the program grows, I want to create, I don't have a better word, a title for it, but something like the Cougar Cup, where we actually run an internal competition between the Pullman campus, Vancouver campus, Spokane campus. Ideally, we would have our own team of every one of our satellite campuses that could all compete. And I would love it if one day Vancouver took the crown that year. So this way, you know, it could be a roving round robin tournament, and the winner, you know, I just think that would be very, very cool.
And that actually reminds me of another college I interviewed some time ago, is East Coast Polytechnic Institute. They have a number of college or campuses, even across multiple states out east, and they end up bringing out their varsity team to a single campus, but they recruit from all of the different satellites. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's another way of doing it, but doing the same thing of being able to run satellite competitions or being able to involve everyone in the same capacity, even though they're at a satellite, that would be huge. And I mean, technology is always getting better. People keep talking about what 5G is going to do for I mean, just internet use in general and what you can accomplish over the internet. So, I mean, maybe you'll still be able to have your varsity players across satellites. It's not unheard of. I mean, I get 13 ping from where I'm at when I play wherever. So, I mean, if that's good enough and I'm in Pullman and or you're in Pullman and I'm here, maybe we have that match against Boise State kind of deal.
Well, and the nice thing about, you know, esports is that unless it's like a grand final scenario, most everything is an online competition. So you do have the flexibility there. But the other thing that is another piece of this puzzle that I really don't think has gotten enough publicity yet, our university recreation department has just released esports intramurals. So it's going to be open to all students, as long as they're inactive, to join an intramural squad, just like you would with basketball, football. Currently, we have League of Legends, 2K, and FIFA. And then eventually, we're going to ramp that up in other games as we get as we can obtain the licenses. But we're eventually going to try to recruit out of our intramurals, too. So we're going to be building our own farm system within our own student body. And so this way, you know, as we have members of our Overwatch team, we're having one that might get poached by the LA Valiant here soon, depending on how tryouts go. We could just recruit from within that way as well. So we're trying to, as I mentioned before, with, you know, pro sports being top heavy, our focus is trying to lay the bedrock of WSU as solid as we possibly can. So this way we can keep recruiting as, you know, the inevitable turnover of seniors and juniors as they leave. We're not going to be left hanging. We can just pluck from the current base. And I think it's a very, very cool prospect to see if it's going to work out the way we hope.
Yeah, I mean, setting the farm up is essential. I mean, having a faculty member dedicated to really be able to hold the fort down as presidents transition or as students leave the campus for one reason or another, being able to have that history and that longevity just instilled in the program is huge. But then you have to set up the systems and the way to keep the students involved. And I love the idea of feeding in yourself from the intramurals. And maybe someone just discovers, like, they want to get better, because I imagine, like, I could see myself, my college self, being like, oh, what's this League of Legends thing? And just going hard into it and being like, mm-hmm. I could actually be pretty good at this. And someone else noticing, like, you could send your captains to the intramurals just to watch and see if anybody wants coaching, see if anyone stands out. You never know where you're going to find a talent. And a lot of people I've talked to, like, they actually start playing games in college where they didn't have access. Their parents didn't let them have video games. One reason or another, they never touched them. But then in college, it's been their social infrastructure. And then it just builds on to there and they develop that passion, whether it's actually competing or producing something.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember being 9 years old and sneaking off to my friend's house to play Doom for the first time in 1992. Some people, like, are exactly like you said, are doing that the first night they're in dorms. And so I just think it's very cool being able to service not just the varsity teams, but the JV and the sub-JV and everything like that. Just being able to introduce them to how cool the esports world and esports culture can be is fun. I enjoy that a lot. We recently had our, we called it Press Start. It was our week of welcome, new orientation, all freshmen welcome. And I think we got like something like 120 new members of the club just like that. And then the next couple days you got 30 or 40. So it's just, it's exploding. And I'm excited.
I mean, we're talking every new class across the country. You're having hundreds of students advocate, this is where I want to spend my time. This is how I want to spend my non-academic time, developing separate skills, developing different communities, developing a new identity, essentially. And they're okay that it's the school's identity. They're okay that it's maybe just the club for right now, but it's important to them, and it's across the country. It is over in the UK. It's in Canada. Like, you can't stop this. This is just happening. And Arizona State, again, it's just happening. Just get on with it. Do yourself a favor.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I genuinely think that any school, any organization that is not willing to at least take a serious, hard look at getting into esports is doing themselves a huge disservice down the line. Because even taking the student aspect out of it, it is a marketing tool exactly like investing into football or baseball or basketball. It is another avenue to turn that success into marketing and potential recruitment for the future. And as esports continues to grow, which it absolutely will, it's not like a traditional school with or sport with the booms and busts of everything. It's going to keep growing. Schools like ASU are just going to become further and further and further an afterthought. And so in 20 years, when my son is looking for a school, they're going to look at something like, oh, hey, there's Washington State with this robust esports program. Here's Boise State with the same thing. Here's Arizona State with not a lot of stuff that I'm interested in. So I think even, you know, they're hurting themselves by being stuck in the past.
We're kind of getting to that end of the hour that, I mean, it just breezes by as soon as we start talking. Just the silly question, just because you brought up your son, academics aside and like wanting to choose the program that's right for him, education wise and everything. What happens if he chooses to go to UW?
my fatherly response, what will be, son, whatever makes you happy, but you will be paying for school on your own. better get ready. Better hope Bernie gets in and wipes out the student loans, because you'll be. Yeah. No. He'll have 11 solid choices in the Pac-12 to choose from.
Fair enough. Let's, I mean, wrapping up, is there anything else that anyone else going into this new school year needs to know about what your program is wanting to build out this year, things to look forward to, anything that, like, maybe I just didn't ask the right question to prompt this? Is there anything else that students are excited about right now within the esports program?
Right now, the biggest thing that our students are excited about is just the excitement of the new school year. Hopefully, crossing my fingers that on the 20th or shortly after that, we'll be able to make a fairly significant announcement in terms of what we're looking to do come January and possibly even December. But I think we have to wait until the 19th or 20th to get that contract in. But we're going to have some very, very exciting things. I'm already so proud of what the students have done on their own, and I'm proud of what I've already been able to, the slight movement I've been able to make, and I am just so excited, and I hope that the passion and enthusiasm from the students keeps being as hype as it is right now, because it's fun to go into work every day.
Oh, man, living the dream. New excitement, new blood, esports, and learning all sorts of new things, I'm sure. This is one of those cases where the students are teaching you as much as you're trying to teach them or just to guide them and everything. And I mean, how many ever games that your clubs are playing, like, there's always more to learn, always more to be passionate about, or learn who's going to be that guiding light next year and start grooming, start thinking about that.
Yeah.
You have an endless list of problems, prospects, and promises to uphold. So I look forward to hearing more about your journey over this next year. Cause I mean, having a full-time faculty member is going to be huge for any program, but for one that has the buy-in from the administration, that has a vision, that wants to advocate for their students more, I'm excited for Wazoo. I honestly can't wait to hear what your announcement is. If there's anything that does come up and you want to drop a line onto the podcast, please just feel free to reach out at any point in time. I'm happy to have you back, and it would be exciting to know anything that's cool that's going on with you guys whether it's big or small, just anything. I'd love to know what's going on with Washington-based collegiate esports. So thanks for coming on. I know it's a little bit late, and you mentioned that you took the day off. So I appreciate that a lot. Anytime you want to get together, just let me know and we can make something happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be very interested in coming back on and having a chat when I actually have more concrete news. But this has been a blast. I enjoy conversations like this.
Absolutely. You're welcome back anytime. Did you want to do any shout outs, maybe ways people can reach out to you or the club in general?
Yeah, so if you want to give me a follow, I'm mainly active on Twitter at hops underscore gg. I'm pretty active on there. I do want to give a shout out to the WSU Esports Club, which let me just double check that I don't botch their handle. It's just at WSU Esports. Give them a follow, give them a shout. They are some of the absolute most passionate people that I've ever met, and I could not be more proud to be associated with them.
All right, guys, that's a high praise to live up to for another year. So I hope you're ready to make. Do you call yourself esports coordinator or do you call yourself coach?
I esports coordinator. I don't know if I have the chops to call myself
myself
coach
coach
right
right
now,
now,
but
but
I am mainly
mainly
because
because
Overwatch
Overwatch
is my is my main game of
game of
expertise.
expertise.
I
I
have
have
been
been
doing
doing
VOD
VOD
reviews
reviews
and
and
other
other
stuff
stuff
for
for
some
some
of
of
the
the
players
players
on
on
individual
individual
basis,
basis.
but
But
no,
no,
don't
don't
call
call
me
me
coach.
coach. Not quite ready to be Coach Hops.
No.
No,
No, not
not
yet.
yet.
Maybe
Maybe
someday.
someday. All right. You have a nice night, and thanks again for coming out. I appreciate the conversation and just exciting news all the way around. And that's it for the podcast, everyone. I appreciate you coming out and listening, whether it's on the podcast in a couple of weeks when this one comes out, or just coming across the VOD. Be sure to share it. Follow me. Follow the podcast. That's anchor.fm/thesummoninghour. If you go to that link, you'll find the podcast publications of where this podcast is found, so you can find the one that you're most comfortable with. It's always out there, always available. And if you want to leave a message for me and be a part of the podcast, anchor.fm/thesummoninghour/message, and you can record a voicemail that I can incorporate directly into the podcast, whether it's a question, a comment, critique, whatever you want to do, whether you love me or hate me, whether you're from ASU or not, you can just feel free to leave something out there and we'll have some fun with it. And I would appreciate your listens, your downloads, and your feedback. So I will catch you all next time on the Summoning Hour.